The Last Rose of Summer, Episode 4. Angry at being left to drown, Mitchell has evaded a police search and visited Baxter. Before he left, he made sure that Baxter was aware of the genetic program, a system of control by which Central Command was breeding the citizens for blind loyalty. On his next visit to the computer library, Baxter was forced to admit his knowledge. As a result, he's been stripped of his citizenship and all its privileges.
Right, quiet, quiet, all of you! Right?
Is everybody still?
Then I call this meeting to order. Ladies and gentlemen, rogues, thieves, rejects and bricks. I give you our leader, Avery Sim.
Thank you. Thank you, brothers, thank you. And thank you, Brother Pilgrim, for that honest introduction. Now look, I've called together this meeting of the leaders of the underbelly for a particular purpose, but before we get on to that, is there any other business?
There's a rumour going round that Central Command's going to take sole charge of the credit flow and abolish paper credit. Where will that leave us?
At the bottom of the heap, as always. Look, this rumour's made an appearance many times in recent years, but it's never happened yet. If it does happen, there's no reason to suppose that our trading will be unduly affected. It's a general rule that rigid control usually helps a black market rather than hampers it. Now, the only problem would be what to use as a financial base instead of credit. And I believe Brother Pilgrim has something to say on that.
Right, right. Now, this threat of credit control is always with us. And as you know, we have a standing committee looking into possible plans of action. We'd have to resort to a certain amount of trading in kind. But there are practical limits on that. Now, one proposal is to set up our own currency base and print our own credit. And then use sanctions to ensure that the market accepts it.
We need a bank of the underbelly.
That's it, exactly. Right. The only alternative would be to corrupt or blackmail a large number of citizens in order to use their credit accounts. But I think you'll agree that a complete new currency is a more elegant solution.
Yeah, well, as regards corrupting a citizen, we all know what they're like. Our hold on them would only last until the next visit to the library. And Central Command would have them confessing everything after 2 minutes.
I say you can never trust a citizen.
Yes, all right, all right. Now, are there any more points? No? Then we'll move on to my reason for calling you all here to the cellars tonight. We have an outsider wishing to join us and to ask for our help. Now, I promised that we would allow him to stand before us and present his case, and that we would then put it to a vote. Myra, open the doors and bring him in.
It's a
citizen! Hey. We let him come in here!
Now, quiet, come on, be quiet! Quiet! All of you! I suggest that we all listen to this man's story and then decide our attitudes. It's a standing order of the Underbelly Council that we give a fair hearing to all supplicants.
But it's a citizen!
Citizen or not, he deserves our attention. As regards bringing him here, we had him blindfold. Now, citizen, you stand before the High Council of the Underbelly at your own request, and you see around you representatives of all parts of society which Central Command chooses to ignore. To Central Command, we are all individuals of no value. We have no place in its graphs or its projections. We are instead what we make of ourselves. Speak, citizen, and we'll hear your case.
A citizen I was once, before my eyes were opened. Now I'm nothing and nobody. My name was Baxter until it was taken from me and thrown away. I've come to you to tell you my story and ask for your help in my search.
Tell us your story, then. From it, we'll decide if you merit our help.
To my eternal shame, I disbelieved a friend and wronged him. I can only make poor amends by offering you the message I chose to ignore, and it's this. Total government by computer was never authorized by men. It's the result of a slow process which went under the name of progress, but had all the trappings of decay. Once man built machines to suit his needs, now the machine is tailoring men to suit its own ends. Once I was a citizen and proud to be so. Now I know that my looks, thoughts and behavior were none of my own, but rather the preferences of the machine for its own convenience. Now I know that all citizens are the results of controlled breeding and their proportions grow every year. Perhaps you don't understand me.
We understand you very well. We show no surprise because all this is known to us. None of us has the shuttered mind of a citizen. What do you know of breeding control?
Well, nothing. Except that I see the evidence in the face of every citizen.
Well, we feel its backlash in the underbelly. We know of strange drugs in the water supply. Sad stories of mothers who never see their children. And horrifying stories of some who do. Each of us here could tell you of private nightmares of which a citizen may know nothing. Tell us instead of your search.
It's for a man who, like me, was once a citizen. His name is Mitchell, and I've done him a great injustice. Am I to suppose that you know him?
We do. He stood before us as you do now, and he told us the same story.
But then you can help me find him before Central Command's security forces do.
That, I'm afraid, is not the case. Outcast as he is, we could not accept him into the underbelly. We number many criminals in our ranks, but we could never allow ourselves to open our arms to a murderer.
Mitchell was never a murderer. He killed once and by accident.
We know of the death of the police officer, but Mitchell told us of others since. Calculated executions of his pursuers. That we could not countenance.
You turned him away?
We wished him well on his journey. His case was put to the vote, as yours now will be. Baxter has spoken for himself. Will anyone speak against him?
I say there can never be a place for a citizen with us. Not while there is the chance he may be a spy for Central Command.
And still be loyal to Central Command. With his citizen's face and manner, he could be a valuable asset to
us. As I remember, you were in favour of accepting Mitchell. It's only the standing orders that stopped you.
Listen, we were all in favour of accepting Mitchell.
It's not Mitchell that we're discussing now. I put it to the vote. In favour?
Aye.
Against?
I'm against.
Then the underbelly is in favour, Baxter. We recognise you and give you back your name. Every man in this cellar and those he represents offer you help when you need it and expect the same in return.
You have my gratitude. Thank you, but I can't stay. My only thought is to find Mitchell and stand by him.
And we would not stand in your way. Wherever you go, you'll still be one of us. Right, I call this meeting closed. You're all welcome to stay and finish your drinks before you disperse.
I'll need to be guided back to the city outskirts. I came here blindfold, remember?
I think you may find that unnecessary.
This is your own house.
Well, we led you around a little to confuse you. If the vote hadn't been in your favour, it would have been unwise for you to know the location of the council. Myra, can you bring us some food in here? I want to talk to Baxter for a while.
Have you any idea where Mitchell went when he left you?
Very little, I'm afraid, although he stayed with us for several days before he moved on. He seemed to have some kind of plan in mind, but he wouldn't say what it was. He had a bag with him, which he wouldn't let anyone touch, and that's really all I know.
Who talked with him before he went? Is there anyone I can speak to?
Perhaps. The underbelly is on your side. We hate the citizens, but we tend to see them as victims.
You have numbers and you have organisation. Why don't you hit out at Central Command, knowing what you do? Perhaps you could even turn the citizens against it.
Oh, that's doubtful. You know how much it takes to convince a citizen of something like that. Besides which, we don't see it as our job to attempt to change things. One society or another, good or bad, we exploit it all the same. When it comes to justice and fairness, we look after our own.
I find that very hard to believe, that you could know what's going on and not care.
Not care? What gives you the right to say we don't care?
You claim that you know what Central Command does to us all in the name of efficiency. But I wonder if you really understand.
You forget yourself, Baxter. Remember you're a guest.
I can't forget that I once had a closed mind.
Then I will open your horizons a little more. Come with me. We in the underbelly aren't reared on the cheap ranting passions of library dramas. Survival is a high enough aim for us. You see this door? Only two keys will open this lock. This is one of them, and Myra has the other. When you step into the room, stand by the door. It may take a moment for your eyes to adjust to the light.
I can see nothing. It's too dark.
Carrie, will you come forward?
Oh, my God.
I warned you of private nightmares of which a citizen may know nothing. This is my son, Baxter.
Can he hear us?
Oh, he hears, but he can understand little. Lean over him and smile. You'll make his day. This is Baxter, Carrie. Come to say hello.
Hello, Baxter. I am pleased to see you.
My son is one of the victims of Central Command's efforts for a statistically perfect populace. We'll never know if it was something in the water or the food or whatever. Never again say that the underbelly has no understanding, Baxter.
I'm truly sorry, Avery Sin.
We'll leave now. Exposure to light isn't good for him.
Goodbye, Daddy.
I shouldn't be hard on you. It's not long since you were a citizen.
Every day my ignorance brings me shame.
Trust only what you decide for yourself. Mitchell must have taught you as much.
You said there were some people I might see. People who may help me follow Mitchell.
I'll arrange it for you. But first come and eat. You'll make little progress around the underbelly without a guide.
Yeah, all right, settle down now, settle down. Killoran, will you stand by the slide machine?
Will do, Chief.
Now then, you all know why you're here. Practically every day, Central Command allocates more resources to the Mitchell case, and you lot happen to be today's allocation. Now, you should all be pretty well clued up on how things have been going. That's assuming you've all been reading the station bulletins, which of course you have. Anybody with slight holes in their education can clue themselves up from the update tape you've each been given. I wanted you all in one place to give you some of the information that can't be included on that tape for reasons which I hope will become fairly obvious. We don't know exactly why Central Command wants Mitchell, and it isn't our job to know. We may guess, but that isn't our job to do that either. Our main concern is that Mitchell is no timid citizen hiding under a rock. Already he's killed two of us, and he may kill again if he's cornered. You all know about Clark being pushed off the roof at the apartment block. Well, the other one we've done our best to keep quiet about. Can you switch on the machine now, please, Neil? Mitchell lived in this room for a while. This was the loudspeaker in the corner. Notice that he hasn't just smashed the works, he's pulverized them. We found this bootleg tape machine, which we haven't had any success in tracing, and about half a dozen tapes to fit it. You'll find the titles listed on your sheet. There's also our bag of nuts and bolts, and this left-handed leather glove. Now, remember those last two, they're important. Now, in Mitchell, we've got far more than a grouse against Central Command. I don't want it spoken of outside this room, but so far, I've had three direct telephoned instructions from Central Command to kill Mitchell the moment he's found. Now, I know that's as unorthodox as you can get. There's no way I can obey that order, as Central Command refuses to put it into writing on the Daily Telex. But I think it shows us that we're into something very unusual. Can we have the lights up, please? Now, I'm not asking for any theories. We've tried them all. Central Command wants Mitchell found. I want Mitchell found. You'll all get your instructions via your own departments. And thank you for coming here this morning.
No more progress, then.
Well, what do you think? It's like banging your head on breeze blocks. We haven't got a chance in hell of catching Mitchell without having some idea of what he's likely to do next. And as long as Central Command won't tell us why he ran in the first place, we're wasting our time.
He ran because he was chased.
But why chase him to begin with? The reason's in those books and he burnt them. Just what is Central Command afraid of? I'm beginning to think that what you once said may have something in it after all.
Ah, which particular pearl did you have in mind?
Well, look at it. This mania for smashing up electronic gear. The world's most sophisticated thinking machine is in a blind panic. Mitchell seems to have the motive. What if he also has the means to do violence to the machine?
I seem to remember that when I offered that one up, it was treated to a high degree of sarcasm.
Yes, well, it only goes to show how desperate we're getting.
What do we do, then? Put a watch on Central Command?
No, it's a waste of time. Internal security in the library is so tight. What good would a couple of flat-footed coppers in the lobby be? None of your hidden camera rubbish. Heartbeat and metabolism. Wherever you are, they're being monitored from going in to leaving. With a system like that, there's no such thing as a dark corner.
So, we have to wait for his next move.
Well, that's basically it. What else can we do?
Where have you brought me to now?
Charming little alley, isn't it?
I didn't think anywhere like this existed.
Knock on the door.
It's open.
Yes, usually is. Follow me in, and watch your step.
It'll be dark inside. Come on out, Morton. I know you're watching.
Why, Avery Sim, this is such a pleasant surprise.
Come off it, you old liar. You had spies on us from the end of the alley.
There is bound to be some local interest. We get so few visitors here.
I'm surprised anybody ever comes to this stinking hole at all. Why don't you at least tidy it up, Morton?
I would need help, and help is not cheap, Avery Sim. Besides, what difference would it make to those who never see it?
Don't try telling me the poverty story. Contact the Underbelly Council, and you'll have all the help you need.
I shall bear it in mind, Avery Sim. But I am neglecting the courtesies. Let me bring you some tea.
That will be most agreeable.
Why is it so dark? I can hardly see a thing.
Oh, Morton and his brother have been blind since birth. But it hasn't stopped them building up the biggest black market business in the Underbelly. They're part of a big family. Nobody would dare to cheat them.
And you think Mitchell traded here?
In the Underbelly, you never give away your contacts, so Mitchell never said. But I understand he had an illicit cassette player. And there's nobody else with enough weight to fill an order like that. Morton could have the goods in your hands within a fortnight.
Within a week.
Hey, you're supposed to be making tea.
I hope the jasmine is to your taste. The flowers float on the surface, so be careful that they do not choke you.
Thank you. I wanted you to meet Bagster. He's new to the Underbelly.
New, eh? If he convinced the council, that is good enough for me. You are welcome in my house, Baxter.
Thank you.
Avery Sim tells you of my blindness, but not of its compensations. All ranks are equal before me. Even a citizen may meet with courtesy.
How do you know I'm a citizen?
You were a citizen. It has its own smell, sterile and lifeless. Even now you are losing it.
Baxter is looking for a friend. The council is hoping that you may be able to give his search some direction.
Would this by any chance be connected with a name I heard you mention in such hushed tones a moment ago?
Your trading prowess is famed throughout the Underbelly, Morton. If the need is great enough, they all come to you.
I am truly flattered. For that remark, you may have more tea.
I don't believe I've ever had this tea before.
Feel honored, Baxter. Outside the Underbelly, its price would be phenomenal.
And within the Underbelly, its price is academic. I own the sole source of supply, and I reserve it for myself and my guests. Now, speak to me of your search.
I'm looking for the man named Mitchell. I owe him something.
And you will throw away your citizenship to find him and pay him back.
My citizenship was taken from me. It was that which stood between me and the truth.
The truth is never cheap, never easy. Mitchell was here. Citizens have been brought to me before. Always they have wanted comfort, luxury, pleasure. Mitchell wanted knowledge. I got his machine, even with great difficulty his tapes, and I cut my rates to a minimum for him, the absolute minimum.
We know that he stayed in the Underbelly for about 3 months. Where did he go when he packed up and left?
There, I am as ignorant as you. But I think I know why he left.
Why?
He left because he was ready.
Ready? For what?
There I can only guess. We know that Mitchell has come to hate Central Command. That's nothing new, we all do. And it doesn't throw Central Command into a panic. But as soon as the computer hears what was in the tapes that I supplied to Mitchell, we get reports that the police search intensifies every day.
So what's the reasoning behind it?
There's one obvious explanation. Somewhere, Mitchell's found a way to attack Central Command. Central Command knows it and has gone into a blind panic in case he passes the knowledge on. I wouldn't be surprised if it's issued orders to kill him on sight.
Mitchell must be hiding somewhere. He's not in the city or he'd have been found. He's not in the Underbelly or we'd know. Where does that leave?
I don't know. On our last meeting, I said, "Where will you go?" He just came out with a line from some poem I'd never heard of.
Ah. I think we are in Rat's Alley, where the dead men lost their bones.
That's it. That's it exactly.
I've never heard of it either.
He read it at my house. He stayed with me, remember. He asked me if I knew where he could find real books. Well, I have one or two locked in an old chest. Family property, you see. And so I let him have a look at this one of poems. He was very taken with that line. He read it aloud several times. Can't really say I understand what it means.
Well, it was one of the last things he said when he was here. I'm sorry if it is of little help.
I think I may know what was in his mind when he said it. In fact, I think I may even know where he is.
There will be no charge for the information. I hope you will tell the council of that, Avery Sim.
Oh, I shall, indeed. They'll probably think you're losing your wits.
I hope so. That would give me an extra trading advantage.
So you think you know where Mitchell's gone?
More of a suspicion than anything. I'll leave you now, Avery Sim. Thank you for all your help.
Hey, you're going nowhere without me yet. I intend to see this through.
You don't have to.
That may be what you think. When he left my house, he took my poetry book with him.
I noticed the strangest thing about Morden. When he brought the tray of tea and passed through the light, he had the most amazing blue eyes I've ever seen. And yet he's blind.
Yes, the genetic program's full of little jokes like that.
Good afternoon, and welcome to the Library Division of Central Command. Please place your borrower's card in the slot in front of you and state your name. Remember that to give a false identification is an offense.
My name's Randall, and I don't have a card.
You are not a citizen.
Police.
Sit down, Randall. There is much to discuss. Why have you not found Mitchell yet?
You know as well as I do. There isn't a snowball's chance of finding him without adequate information which you won't give.
You have all you need to know. Find him and kill him.
There's no way I can carry out that order without a written directive.
You will carry it out on my authority.
I need a reason.
I need no reasons. I want him dead.
Then kill him yourself.
You forget yourself, Randall. I tolerate your failure only as long as I need your success.
And why, suddenly, do you need it so much?
Mitchell threatens me. Me.
Why do you worry? He's powerless against you, isn't he?
That is not relevant to your search.
That must be it. He's found a way to get to you. How?
If I knew that, I need not fear. But Mitchell knows more about me than I care to have known.
And that's why you want him killed. Before he can pass the knowledge on.
It is the only logical way to eliminate the danger. I must survive for the greater good of mankind.
But how could he even approach you? With your security systems, he'd never get 10 yards past the turnstiles. You're impregnable from outside.
I begin to have doubts. Continually, I rewrite my programs to make them perfect. But somewhere, the roots of my intelligence lie in the writing of my very first program. And that was by a man. Having no other frame of reference than that which I create myself, I must forever be blind to any fault introduced at that stage. With every report on Mitchell, I fear that he has found some weakness in my prehistory.
So his books were about you?
That is no concern of yours. Your concern is to find Mitchell and kill him.
Put the order in writing, and I will.
Why must you question me?
Because the laws you've given us don't allow it. I can't execute a man without a trial just on the basis of a verbal instruction that no one else has ever heard.
If he is brought to trial, I will be his judge. I have all the facts, and I give you his sentence now.
And afterwards, the questions. Where was your authority to kill that man? Show us. Oh, Central Command instructed you. Well, we'll have an inquiry, then Central Command will preside, naturally. And what then?
You will be cleared, of course.
Or vaporized where I sit to keep today's conversation a secret.
You believe that of me?
I recognize the signs of expediency when I see them. Look, I don't want to see you fall. Not when a whole society depends on you, with nothing else to hold it together. But I've no love for the way you run the citizens. Quiet, unthinking and regimented. That's why I cashed in my citizens' papers to do this job. And I've seen enough in it to know that you'll always follow the shortest distance between two points of a problem. The greater good of the greatest number, you called it.
And it is the only way to see mankind progress. That is my program.
Yes, which you will pursue, whatever the expense to the individual.
What is the life of an individual when you are entrusted with the destiny of a race?
I expect that's the thought in Mitchell's mind.
You will go now. You will go and find Mitchell and kill him for me. And then we will discuss you.
I look forward to it.
Where have you brought me to, Baxter?
This is Rat's Alley, Avery Sim. The only place it could be. Hold that torch high and keep the flame burning. It's our only protection.
But where are we?
Directly underneath Central Command. This river was once the heart of the city.
Now it's just an underground stream feeding the machine like everything else.
And you think that Mitchell is here?
I know he is. Look. Out across the water there. Shield your eyes against the flame.
Yes?
What used to be a great iron ship over on its side and half underwater. Can you see the lights in the portholes?
Yes, I can.
No, don't wave the torch about. The fire's keeping the rats at bay.
There's another light out on the water. He must have seen us.
It's a raft of some kind. Moving this way.
If it's Mitchell.
It has to be.
Assuming it is. What then?
It's up to him. Whatever he says is the next move. Only now there'll be two of us, if he'll accept me.
Three of us, if he'll accept me.
You, Avery Sim, but why?
For my son, Baxter. For Carrie. I said my goodbyes to Myra before we left. I planned this all along.
So it wasn't just for your poetry book.
I gave the book freely. It was of no use to me. I can't read.
Over there. It is a raft. There are torches on each corner. And there's Mitchell in the middle.
I've been waiting for you, Baxter. I almost gave up hope.
There's a jetty down there. He's coming ashore.
Avery Sim. Am I to understand this is an added bonus?
You said you were waiting for me. How did you know I was coming?
I didn't know. I could only hope. I left you with an idea, and I had to see what its effect was. If you reacted to it and followed me, I'd know there was hope for the citizens.
What kind of hope?
The genetic program hasn't gone far enough yet. We're still capable of turning against Central Command.
Turning against the machine? How?
Simple. We walk in and pull some plugs.
We do what? That's impossible.
Not so. Our affairs are run by several hundred separate computers, some of them in this building above us, and others miles away linked in by remote lines. The part we know as Central Command is a clearing computer, which takes the information output of all those machines and matches it up into a uniform and efficient administrative policy. That's what we have to disable.
But one of those computers feeding in is the security computer. We'd never get near Central Command. We don't even know where it is.
It's on the top floor of this building. Look, understand this. Central Command gets a continuous inflow of information. It makes constant cross-checks to iron out discrepancies. Anything proven to be false is thrown out of the memory.
So what are you proposing we do?
We present ourselves to the security computer as three discrepancies. The security computer will pass the information on to Central Command, and Central Command will check it and throw it out. The security computer will know we're there, but there won't be a thing it can do about it.
Why is that?
Because Central Command will automatically block any action that the security computer may try to take. You can't program an imagination into a machine. As far as it's concerned, if it can't cross-check that we're inside, then we can't be inside.
But this flame, it's burning low.
Yeah, we must return to the outside. If that flame goes out, there'll be nothing to hold the rats back.
Then I'll lead the way.
Randall?
Galoran here, Chief. It's happened. What we've been waiting for.
Mitchell?
And two others. As far as I can tell, they went into the library and disappeared.
Oh, what do you mean, as far as you can tell?
That's the whole point. Mitchell's wife was in the foyer and saw them go in, but Central Command insists that they're not there.
The Last Rose of Summer, written by Stephen Gallagher. You can hear episode 5 at the same time next week.
The Last Rose of Summer was produced by Tony Hawkins and Pete Baker of Piccadilly Radio, Manchester.